Okay, one, let's see. Jamie Banks. Let's, come on, Jamie. Where you at?
And I thought reading, singing karaoke was scary. It's very scary. Okay. Okay, I'll start with this one. Two wounded birds, throbbing in their nest of nettle, cling wing to wing, feathers, matted petals, glued to the toothpick bones of the sad sack's brittle skeletons. Cracked marbles reside where the eyes should be. Beaks are keys. They crumble when they lock. This is called Celestial Entities. My greatest regards, sweetest sympathies, and with heartfelt sincerity, I apologize for the anger I express, cast upon my kin. Disastrous and deceptive I have been, at times. Never with you have I lied, except within our cradle, our womb, the one we share at a whim, suckling at the sustenance, our great affections, I do not know. I hope it helps us strengthen. I hope that I help you grow. I know without a doubt that I love thee. Alberto, every time I think of you, the nova broadly brightens. The one which expands like Ra. You are my sun god. I am the dark side of the moon. I bathe rather raucously in your graces, tasting your sugar cane and harvesting the fruits of our labor from the orchard which you nourish. Nature needs a sun and a moon. You and I are celestial entities, polarities bound and bountiful within the womb of the one, the eternal.
I'm afraid to touch it.
No, it's not going to fall. So it's just good starting. It's a brand new stand.
Okay.
Brand new, man. Brand new money.
I just have one short poem. At one time, I was interested in existentialism, and I, as a matter of fact, lived through it. So that this... That's no mean feat, dear. So anyway, this is one of the poems that came out of that. My journey. Now, when the journey was nearly ended, I learned that the main thing I had come for was to cease to exist. I entered the forest through an ignominious gate that turned me from my past. I cut a path through the laurels and moss and willows, tripping over mushrooms and mint until I came to a stream. This is tough. Is that better? Okay. Lilliputians tried to hold me back, but I lay down to drink, and as I was filling, I melted into the water down to my ankles, then disappeared. I drained past salmon who were jumping, unaware, again and again against a net that was strung over the river. I plunged between rocks of muddy years cast off from sunken barges. I mixed with the sea.
There we go. All right, I got two short ones. The first one's about Oakland. It's called On the Way to Jimmy's. Not your Uncle Jimmy's, my favorite bar. There we go. The only light on the fourth floor passes for the moon. In rooms of paint and naked light, lips are wet with sweat from behind her left knee. Makes her moan, his little smile, and slowly a piano commits suicide note by note out the broken window, jumping from the apartment across from the church he was confirmed in. In the alley, the grease is frozen in August, a cushion behind the dumpster for the fraternity brother on his knees for rough trade and short order cook sport. The world written badly, left on the front stoop to rot, makes me wanna. Suddenly my one drink becomes three on the way to Jimmy's. My co-writer and good...
Tighten that thing right there, that's so...
There we go, that'll do it. Yeah. My co-writer and good friend Jason Baldinger is going to read the sister poem to this. But this is about a ghost town in Ohio called Shiloh. I set out to find Utopia down the river road, got caught in the remains of the locks, thought here I'll build my Kublai Khan called Shiloh. They speak of the flood that made the Kentucky Bourbon coast across the river disappear like the shores of the old world they left for the peace of the Ohio. The pews and the altar washed out the broken stained glass windows of the church. The names were erased off the headstones in the cemetery next door. The signs on Main Street that made the night electric killed business and businessmen and their franchises from the outside world. They told me of the teenagers fucking for the first time among the flotsam of iron in the air, among the jetsam of trinkets in the burial mounds above the flood, closer to God. The kids came down from the hills when the waters went the way of gentlemen and patriots to repopulate the moist, vast, wet world. We left the homes, we left the foundations of the homes, of the church, of the locks, of the grocery, of the five and dime in the corner store for the ghosts to roam and grow. One garage, one gas station, one restaurant, a scarecrow dressed as Jesus, just enough to prove we're civilized. Now our houses have wheels, only thing permanent are porches. We picnic in the pavilion singing songs about bananas. Our children sleep without the stress of being rich or poor. They dream of bananas and other things they've only heard of.
If you're interested, Jerome and I have books for sale. Come find me. Or we'll even trade you for them. We don't mind. We're really not interested in money anyway, right? So this is called Utopia. This is from the book, as he said, the sister poem. With a nod to Edward Bellamy, we can leave it all behind. Shut off the grid and escape the 19th century. Build a mansion on the banks of the Ohio and create a great society. 100 men and 100 women, true believers in a quest for commune, in a quest for harmony. Real spiritual beings, real soul, everyone working together for the group to enrich themselves. Everyone creating new life by hand, God's way, the righteous way. To show this rattled world there is some peace, there is some serenity. We build this mansion, we build this heaven to understand our earth, and there are no ears to hear a word the world would say. Our task complete, a celebration in order. We danced away a December night's rain, and the waters rose. We boasted of our new world and laughed at fools who pardon us no grace, and the waters rose. We knew in our new world we would be immune from harm, and the waters rose. Our shining example stands for people to usher in a perfect world. The waters rose, the waters rose, the waters crushed our walls, the waters swept us away. We danced in the new world and died. The ocean of the Ohio, its tide carried us away. This is called New Straitsville, Sunday, October 17th. Sunday morning, God's garden, fall hangs like moonlight over trees full color. Mexicali Jesus, wild Irish rose, and a temperamental power steering pump got nothing to say to the Black Diamond region. Open, stretched out, history on back roads, history written in scars on landscape, only read like braille in an aerial shot. Gears grind away ghost, reality enamel thin, ironworks, brick kilns, the reverend chain smoking black asphalt, gray asphalt trace, as we wind from Eclipse to Candy Town, to New Pittsburgh, to Jobs, on to New Straitsville, where dogs chase ATVs down Main Street, and where lunch counters fell from Pez dispensers fashioned to look like the death mask of Samuel Gompers in 1933. Sunday in the South, buffet laid out in archival newsprint that stands on sand with a story to tell of how this land burned, of how these men burned, of how these people burned, and how they struggled for better lives, for the colossus of capital failed, or for this town built up, now falling down.
I have one poem. I want to preface it by saying that I love to write poetry. I love to submit it. But the one thing I can't stand, because I get nervous or something, is writing my own biography. And I know there are a lot of people in here who have been published, and they might feel the same way or they might not. I don't know. But this poem is based on my dislike of biographies. It's called Please Include a Third Person Biography. Excuse me. If you hold Daniel M. Shapiro's poems over an open flame, they will not burn, but will instead reveal all of life's truths. Daniel M. Shapiro is tired of the zombies clawing at his bedroom window at 5 a.m., but clearly is just an uptight asshole, for zombies need to eat too, and his brain smells like the red licorice of youth, and the torch wielders chasing the zombies are the real baddies. Chest-thumping gluttons who cheer zombie deaths at all-you-can-eat buffets. Daniel M. Shapiro's poems are 1/4 Bette Midler and 5/4 a half-used can of Raid chased with a shot of Oh My God. Daniel M. Shapiro will never win the Pulitzer Prize because he is the Pulitzer Prize, $10,000 in cold, hard cash. Like Van Morrison, Daniel M. Shapiro loves the love that loves to love the love that loves to love the love that loves to love. Daniel M. Shapiro lives with his pet ocelot, if only to ward off the zombies. Yet this is further proof he's an asshole, because the ocelot is an endangered species and shouldn't be kept in captivity exposed to zombies or angry mob fat slobs. Daniel M. Shapiro often needs reminding. Daniel M. Shapiro is not the author of Mom's Marijuana. And if you attend one of his poetry workshops and ask him, aren't you the guy who wrote Mom's Marijuana? He will graft your image onto his licorice-scented brain and use that image as the basis for a voodoo doll, which he will throw atop the torch of a Golden Corral frequenter. Daniel M. Shapiro loves to say, I told you so. Daniel M. Shapiro never begins a sentence with, if I were you, because the prospect would depress him for countless days. Daniel M. Shapiro hangs in there like the cat on the poster. Daniel M. Shapiro is neither the Lord of the Dance nor the Lord of the Sith, but he is a 6-time nominee for Champion Disco Dancer Under 40 Sith Division. Daniel M. Shapiro doesn't need to be told twice. Daniel M. Shapiro understands when people wish ill on others, like when they wish the zombies would finally get inside and devour a guy who promises he has so much more to say. Thanks.
Lucille, come on, Lucille, get on up there. Lucille's going to be selling her book if anybody wants to buy it.
This is going to be fun, trying to sit on a stool. There. Whoops. How to design a poncho. I know you always wanted to make a granny square poncho, so I will tell you how. First, you wait for an attack of temporary insanity. Then you choose 15 colors, which no one in her right mind would put in the same garment. Don't worry about this. You are the greatest fiber artist this world has ever seen, and will be able to make it work. You are probably a genius. 1 year later, you have completed over 350 granny squares. It is a hot Sunday afternoon in mid-August. A lot of people take naps on Sunday afternoon. You lay out. You lay out all those squares on your bedroom rug. I think that's too close. I don't want it that close. You lay out all those squares on your bedroom rug in the shape of your poncho. Finally, your design is complete. You can't believe your eyes. It is the ugliest thing you have ever seen. You have been crawling around on your hands and knees for 7 hours, and your back is killing you. Your cat comes in to see what you are up to. She has heard you talking. She slinks to the center of your poncho, begins to wash herself. Soon she will curl up for a nap. You pick up all those squares, put them in a big white plastic garbage bag, and ram it into the corner of the closet shelf. Maybe you will give it to the Salvation Army. You wouldn't wear it to a dog fight. Your back still hurts. It is a week before you can stand upright. Yes, it is Sunday. Hot again, like last week. You lay out the granny squares. It is still ugly. You remove the brown and yellow. It's too close.
It's just fine.
No, you're good. No, it's bothering me because it's too close. And
I have to hold my book higher.
You're getting there, guard.
Continue reading.
That's, it can't be this close. It's bothering me.
Okay.
There. Okay. Yes, it is Sunday. Hot again, like last week. You lay out the granny squares. It is still ugly. You remove the brown and yellow, the variegated brown and violet. You decide to have a cold glass of lemonade. Put your feet up. Maybe in heaven you will be rewarded for your perseverance. Hundreds of grannies are resting on the closet shelf, and 12 years have passed. You are starting from scratch. We'll need almost 500 more squares, mostly rose and red. You're really good at this. Even designing stuff in your sleep, evening gowns with ruffles, floor-length coats, more ponchos, dresses with four sets of detachable sleeves. Now, could you hear the last part of that?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
it was too close before, and I have to hold this close, so it's...
Okay.
Okay.
That's it. Lucille, thank you. That was two pages.
Okay. Nancy Esther James.
I'll just stand. I'd rather stand, thank you. Last week I read Aranga, that's a Japanese poetry form, about one of the monuments in Hiroshima, in the Peace Memorial Park. I'm going to read another Aranga about another monument. This is the monument, I'll just explain a little bit about it, the monument to Korean victims and survivors. Of the 200,000 who were killed by the bomb, approximately 10% were Korean. They were soldiers, students, and civilians living in Hiroshima. A plaque near this monument explains that the Korean victims were given no funerals or memorial services, and their spirits hovered for years, unable to pass on to heaven. So in 1970, the Korean residents of Hiroshima built their own memorial, not only to the victims, but to survivors. Survivors of the bomb are called hibakusha, that's a Japanese word, which is used in the poem. Two other things to explain, the land of the morning calm, a phrase in the poem, is a traditional name for Korea. And this poem actually is accompanied by a painting that I made, and the monument, it shows the monument is resting on the back of a tortoise, because the tortoise was believed to carry the souls of the dead from this world to heaven. Monument to Korean Hibakusha, Hiroshima Peace Memorial Park. Phoenix, dragon's crown, monolith upraised at last, hallow foreign dead. Heaven's tortoise carries home souls that cloud and smoke exiled. 1/10 of all burned, land of morning calm bereft, no incense or chants. Thousands more, hibakusha overlooked amid debris. Urns of azaleas, trees grown afresh from ashes, August ritual. Visitors fold hands, bow heads, echo sojourners' demand. All lost be honored, all hibakusha tended, no more fiery death. Thank you.
Donald, a.k.a. Mike Carrier.
I'm sorry. Hello. Yes, something I wrote about, like... About, like, I don't know how crazy the world is today. Okay. Let's just zap to it like Halley's Comet. You know it cracks me up more than a Humpty Dumpty omelet? All these mesmerized zombies with brain decay still think their votes count on election day. The Republicans will save a world from going into heck with tax breaks for the rich, and the trickle-down effect will make money grow in bushes. That's how their DJ's spinning. Yeah, next thing you know, your job's outsourced to India. Eviction notice on your crib because you can't make pay. Don't worry, it's fun to stay at the YMCA. Now the Democrats will save us because they're real scholars. They'll get us out of debt by spending zillions and zillions of dollars, but their campaign promises were to cut frivolous spending. They also said elect us and the wars would soon be ending. Political witchcraft, one of Hitler's most potent potions. You get the masses to do anything if you could appeal to their emotions. Did you really think Obama was the best candidate? Or just want to see a black man in the White House cooled running shit? You're all cyborgs with iPhones in your biofield for arousal, embracing every little lie the mass media tells you. A month ago you didn't like the way the donkeys kicked it. Declared that you're the elephant to your friends with your cricket. Divorced already? Thought you were in love with the stereotype. Hey, yo, Chuck, why don't you tell him? Don't believe the hype. So naive, here change for a dollar and your pants drop. This is new millennium. Ain't no more good shit with the lollipop. What's really going on, B? Come on, pay attention. It's like you're stuck in another dimension. You need to lay off the astro projection. Once a good man vowed to restore justice and truth to the nation. CIA wasn't having it. John F. Kennedy assassination. That's the day the music died. Greedy corporate control freak fiends. Secret societies, dark forces, Darth Vader were control world events from behind the scenes. You're being over teleprompted. Elitist shadow of the government, evil illuministic magic vultures are subtly hovering above it and covet the souls of the lost sheep who are too embarrassed to hang with Jesus, blew off little Bo Peep, can only comprehend tangible, underestimate the aftermath, the afterlife, Hades' fury, heaven's glory, and God's wrath. Hear about that film from Egypt? Man, you need to be Copernicus. They sell a pale horse from the Bible Revelations apocalypse. Cruising through the war zone at 6:45 with the pimped out neon green ground effects from heaven. Jesus was loving and kind, came to save you from the muck. You wouldn't listen, so the horsemen are here to mess you punks up.
poverty in Haiti, oppression in Iran, earthquakes in two tsunamis, 10,000 dead in Japan, civil wars in Libya, Egypt, and Bahrain. Could planet Nibiru be affecting the Earth's magnetic frequency band? Experts speculate the U.S. downfall is a certainty. For years, the U.S. dollar has been the world reserve currency. Ecstasy off the powers of neckers inspires arrogance so bold, only country in the world that pays debts in currency, not represented by gold. Now, the other world leaders are getting pissed hardcore. They don't want us to be the world reserve no more. That would mean hyperinflation, riots in the streets, Great Depression, dread. Might have to pay $25 just for a loaf of bread. But don't worry, don't freak out. Just stay calm. You'll all be alright just as long as no psychopath gets a hold of a nuclear bomb. One day the crime rate will be 0%, just a ghost of a story. Once they form a world government and make microchips in your head mandatory. But we can pull the rope and don't make it rosy-posy. Lady Fatima said this could be avoided if y'all get devoted to saying the rosary. Think you're some evil, devious genius getting over. You're the biggest dolts. Mess with God, you're bound to get hit with a big barrage of lightning bolts.
Okay, all right, Donald. A bond in the pen, where you at,
Donald? I just have one. This one is a favorite word of all writers, rejection. It's called rejected from a literary journal. Acceptance is not necessary when words leap like black ninjas off white paper. A deliverance of swift and paring stings to egos leaves antagonists trapped in astonishment. Fear. A pungent scent marks a chilling trail down each leg, straddling the Fifth Amendment. Frustration trips over an empty defensive barrage of stereotypical brand and labels aimed to exclude and diffuse the talented 90th. It screams friend when hidden insecurities as doubts emerges from deep recesses, reach out for its life preserver, grasps open water. An agonizing descent into the quicksand of his own arrogance. Acceptance is an unacceptable vice when words are your shield.
Thank you. All right, did we forget anybody? I'm gonna wind it down with a poem of, again, remind you to sign up for the peace poetry thing if you want. Realizing in the last 15 years we've had over 2,000 homicides in Allegheny County, and if you had 2,000 people with ingrown toenails, we'd call it an epidemic. You know, this is kind of crazy. If you hadn't, most of you have not lived the 60s, it was really a cool time to live, really was. And I mean, if you don't believe me, go out there and get Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band. Do that and get a Jimi Hendrix album. Get a couple of them. That is like real cool.
Doors.
Yeah, Doors. Cool. Betty Ford just died, and I was fascinated with that. I was just fascinated with it. This is called Get Real High, and they'll name a clinic after you. I spoke with a secret agent, he's retired now, and he told me Betty Ford was Strawberry Fields forever. He said his guess is that she died from an overdose of just too much sunshine. She would embarrass Jerry between the ignorant oil and popping pills. She strutted around in a pair of hip huggers, t-shirt, and no bra, smoking weed. She used to hide her stash behind the picture of George Washington and say, "Easy, Mr. President. Chill, baby, chill. It's only hemp. Jerry, tune in, turn on, drop out." And George and Martha used to tote. He said, "Betty smoked the wacky weed, ganja, acapella gold, Mary Jane, and she was always cooking brownies and singing Puff the Magic Dragon."
We'll always find her stash, and she'd yell, "Somebody stole my shit." He said, "We knew for a fact that she kept a handful of black beauties under her lava lamp, smoked hash, drank Ripple, Singapore slings, Harvey Wallbangers, and we're pretty sure she dropped acid. She'd sleep late most of the time, and then she'd get up, put on Jimi Hendrix, and play the air guitar, Purple Haze. It drove Jerry crazy, and she said, "Easy, Greasy, there's some fungus among us." He'd tell her, "Betty, you're the first lady. You got to act right." She'd say, "Lighten up, Jerry. Keep the faith. Talk the talk, walk the walk. Party till you drop. Then get up and party some more. Who took my roach clip? You pardon tricky dick. Who stole my roach clip? You pardon tricky dick." The agent told me that Betty would bounce off the walls and she'd always ask, "Got any weed?" Did you know that Jerry hid my bong? And you know, dudes, I got so high, I almost touched the sky, and then they named the clinic after me. I asked him, "Did Betty really listen to Hendrix?" He said, "Like a voodoo child." That was the 60s, kids. Hey, next week, come see the poets.